welcome to Be Mindful. My name is Lillian Larty, and I'm joined in the studio today with the one and only Pastor Deji.
Whoop, whoop.
Yay.
Good evening, everybody.
Being Mindful is our regular broadcast that explores issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family, relationships, careers, and much, much more. If you're a regular listener to Being Mindful, you know that we cover these topics, relevant and current issues as well. So if you're joining us for the first time on Being Mindful, let me tell you that this is where we discuss topics around how we can respond when we or others are confronted with certain types of concerns for our Christian lives. As always, during the show, we would love to hear from you, so please do get in touch regarding today's topic, which I will share later. And the easiest way to do that is to contact us using the PHBC Radio app. Just tap on the link to contact the studio and send us a message directly from there. We'd love to hear from you. And also come with your questions, comments, and or contributions. If you're on social media, you can contact us directly using any of our social media channels. Just use the handle at PHBC London to find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, on Insta, and on Facebook. And any message you send during the show will come directly to us in the studio. So let's get to it.
I have a question.
Yes, Pastor Deji.
We're still saying X, formerly known as Twitter. When are we just going to call it X? I don't, is that even possible?
I think it depends on the generation that grew up with Twitter.
Yeah.
I think we will never, ever forget Twitter. Because, you know, there was always this, you say like a phrase or something in conversation or on interviews, and it'd be like, that's a tweet. Now what we're going to say?
We're going to say that's an X.
That's an X. X marks the spot. They better just change the name back to Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, interestingly, they're still using the domain name twitter.com.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because when I logged into mine, because I don't really use it that much, but when I logged into mine, I think it was last week, and yeah, nothing's changed there.
Nothing's changed other than the X in the corner.
You see, yes.
It's still a tweet.
Yes. Yes.
Still a tweet.
It is, because it says yes in tweets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what they're playing at, they're just... Anyway, Pastor, what's on your mind?
Oh, gosh. What's on my mind? Today is bank holiday. It's been a great day. It's been a great day. Weather, I mean, it's been a little bit rainy, you know, last couple of days, and this sort of cloudy, but it's warm. It's warmer anyway.
Yes,
it's
goodness.
Warmer. We're at the end of May, and we really shouldn't be having, well, I mean, we're still in spring, right?
We're still in spring, a bit colder on my side of things, the weather's still a bit
a little bit of water,
bit of chill in the air, but
the flowers and the plants, the grass are getting their nutrition, heat, light, moisture, so I can't complain too much about that, and I'm grateful for that. But what is really on my mind is, other than the fact that today has been a day of celebration, what's really on my mind?
Oh, yes. Tell.
Is holiday time.
Oh, okay.
Holiday time.
Okay.
You know, what's the weather like in Turkey right now?
Oh.
That's really what's on my mind. And just wondering, you know, what's it like? How warm is it in Turkey? It's probably like 25 degrees, 27
nice.
Degrees.
Nice.
27 degrees
my
on the 27th. And so are you guys going to be going on holiday this year? Listeners, if you're here, you know, where are you going on holiday this year? So that's what's on my mind. A little bit of a clue there, I suppose.
Right, we're all getting on the plane.
Let's all go to Turkey or Greece.
We're all shopping at the airport.
Yes, indeed.
PHBC trip, why not?
Yeah, forget Ashburnham or
exactly.
Green Pastures.
Yeah.
Let's go on retreat to Turkey.
Yes.
Are you up for
definitely.
That? Hey,
I
listeners,
am.
If you're up for that, send us a message. Are you up for a retreat? How many people? Listen, if I get enough people in church say to me, Pastor, let's go on retreat to Turkey.
Yes.
I would absolutely start looking into flights and all of that stuff.
Maybe not Turkey for me. Maybe
right,
somewhere
where?
Like, I've been to
Barbados.
Cyprus. Well, Barbados has to be top, isn't it?
Yeah.
Barbados, Spain.
There's another place you keep calling. Not
Menorca.
Menorca. Oh, really?
It's a little island. One of the...
The Balearics, is it? Yes.
Yes. Apparently, it's very serene.
Have you ever been?
I haven't, no.
We've been, and I tell you, it's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah,
A number of years ago, we hired a villa out there. One of these villa, whatever, websites, you just get a...
Mm.
I mean, the benefit of it, it's self-catering. You do what you want. Mm. The downside is it's self-catering.
Yeah.
You have to cook. For breakfast and all that.
Unless you can include the price of a chef to come in.
wow. Okay. But we were really, really blessed because this villa was about 10 minutes walk from the beach. And it was fun. And the villa had a pool.
Oh my God.
And it had pool table and had a barbecue area, ping pong. And we just chilled. We were in the pool almost every day in the sun.
That's speaking to me right.
So let's do a church retreat out to Menorca with a pool by the beach.
Yes.
We'll do a survey, see if enough people like it. So I'm thinking holidays at the moment.
Oh.
I'm thinking, holidays are a good thing.
Good.
Yeah. Yes. What's on your mind, Lillian?
What's on my mind is we've started Fit Temple.
How is that going?
Well, ladies apparently have signed up. No men.
Yeah, which is a bit, I don't know what's going on here. Yeah. Well, they're going to the gym to get a hench, stand in front of a mirror and look at their muscles.
They've not tried one of my exercise and workouts.
Listen, I've heard about your exercises and work. I'm scared. In fact, maybe the men are scared.
That's it.
It could well be that this is a fair issue. It's a fair factor.
Mm.
But I've heard how week after week, it's been, over a month now, I think.
Coming up to.
Goodness me. Yeah, so I've heard about that. People talking about how their eyelashes hurt. And the muscles in their eyelashes are feeling it, and their earlobes and their toenails are creaking, and I don't know what you're doing to those ladies.
Well, let me put it this way. Some of the ladies were saying to me that soon after the class, they were on the phone to their children, their loved ones, saying, set the bath, put the Epsom salts in, quick. And I was like, but that's just the warm-up. We haven't even started anything yet.
You know, the Bible says that bodily exercise, does give us some profit.
Exactly.
You know, and I think it's really wonderful. It's very encouraging to see people paying the price for that bodily growth, bodily health. Yeah.
Yes.
But thank you as well. Let me say this, thank you.
Welcome.
Fit Temple classes are coming back. Obviously, this class is closed now, but they'll be coming back in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. So look out for them. Look out for the announcements. Look out for the sign up. And if you've done it already, just keep going. Why not?
Do it again.
Yes.
And just build upon what they're working through now.
Because
that's what it is about, fitness exercise is not a one-time done thing, We need to be moving our bodies throughout our lives, as long as we're here on earth, we need to be keeping ourselves healthy. And if we desire to live what the Bible says, long life, we want to live a long, healthy life. You can live a long life and you can be ill and sick.
Come on.
There are so many people who are in homes, in hospitals, of an old age, but they're unwell. They can't do anything.
So
our desire is to live a long and healthy life,
And I suppose one of the critical elements to this is that this is the time. It's you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And if you want to sow, if you want to reap that health, then you've got to sow health.
In your later years, you've got to start right now.
You've
got to
sow it. Yeah, you've got to sow it. Now, but it's sad that, unfortunately, a lot of the time, we don't, I think with society saying now, we want now answers. We want now solutions. So rather than doing something like Fit Temple and embarking on an exercise program, give me the pill.
Mm-hmm.
There's a diet pill, I believe, and it's been causing problems, I heard.
I'm not surprised because, there's so many quick fixes. You can go and get a gastric band fitted quite easily. But it's, and I know a couple of people who, one, a very close friend of mine who did a gastric band, she almost died from it, And because it leaked, they didn't sew her up properly. So it leaked into her abdomen. Yeah, she collapsed one day. But anyway, I sat at her bedside bed and I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear. I said, but was it worth it? I looked her in the eye and I said to her, was it worth it?
Lily. vegetarian.
Because, yeah, no, because they don't educate them around the eating.
Yes.
And why did you get into that position in the first place? Which is what I'm going to be educating the ladies around is, you know, why are you here? That's why I keep saying to them every week, remember your why. Why are you here? What got you to this place? How can you change your mindset around how you're moving forward? Because without that education and without changing the mindset, you know, it's pointless. You're just going to end up back at square one. And that's what happens with people who have gastric bands. And then they have to go and get it taken out because it becomes uncomfortable. And then they get another one fitted again. And it's, you know.
Yeah, I think you know, I love what you just said. What's your why? What's your why?
Mm.
Why are you here? Before we get to the trying to get it solved, why did you end up in this position in the first place?
Mm.
You know, overweight, obese, too heavy, too this, too that, whatever it may be. Why? It's about understanding what brought you here.
Mm.
Because if you don't understand that, there's a solid, solid chance it'll bring you back again.
Mm.
You know, because we're creatures of habit, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, I remember when we went to the US, I met my spiritual mom for the first time. Well, first time was in 1988, but I found her again, went to go see her in 2012.
Mm.
2013, I went with a bunch of people again, and we were serving in the ministry. It was a mission trip. And I remember dinner time, we'd be in the restaurant, and we're saying, okay, let's dinner. Okay, I'll have a small burger, some chips, and some salad.
Mm.
You know, and some of these guys, these real teenagers, young adults, Americans, would just say, yeah, just give me a tub of Ben and Jerry's. And they would have the whole tub of Ben and Jerry's in one sitting. And I've never, ever, ever seen anybody eat a whole tub of ice cream until 2013.
Wow.
So the tub was their meal.
Mm.
How can you have a tub of ice cream as a meal?
Oh my goodness.
A whole tub. I'm even now, I'm still aghast, is a whole tub. So I think it's about how did you get here? Why?
Mm.
For some people, In some cases, and I will say in some cases, it's genetics. Some people, it's a health condition.
Yeah.
But listen, listeners, if everybody's saying, yeah, that's me, calm yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
That's in few cases.
Very small percentage.
Yes, in a few cases. Yeah. For the vast majority, it's lifestyle.
Mm.
So we're not burning what we're taking on.
Mm.
You know, you're looking at you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, you know, he has 4 eggs and 12 sausages and da, 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 da. Yes, but he spends, you know, 42 hours a day in the gym.
Yeah.
You know, that's why he needs that many calories. Mm. You can't take on the calories of a professional bodybuilder.
No.
You cannot do that unless you're going to burn, you know, the calories of you know, Mike Tyson.
Mm.
You know what he takes on when he's preparing for a bout, the early stages before he starts to lean down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do that.
No.
And I think it's important to understand the whys, understand the motive, and then understand the why do you want to change.
Yeah.
And then finally, what's it going to cost you?
Mm.
And are you ready to pay that price?
Mm. Yeah. Some good points there, Pastor.
let's take a music break. I think in a moment, let's get to the topic today. But before we get to that topic, should we do music or should we introduce the topic?
Let's do topic.
Let's
do music.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
Should we do
it's
music?
It's Monday.
Or? Yes, yes. Let's do topic and introduce the music. So what we're going to do, let's have a listen to a piece of music. This, you know, there are some songs that seem to be timeless. When you listen to songs, you're like, wow, it's a timeless song. I remember that song.
Mm.
A couple of weeks ago, I went to Minister Baptist Conference and we sang a song that I haven't sung this song in nearly 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing Love by Graham Kendrick.
Oh, wow.
You know, so some songs appear to be timeless in nature, but the truth of it is the song isn't timeless.
Mm.
It's the message of the song that's timeless. It's the way the song moves you that is timeless.
Mm.
And this song that we're going to play, our first song for the show this evening, was released 12 years ago. And it remains a timeless song. It remains a timeless song because it's talking about the timeless nature of our timeless God.
Mm.
So here is Dietrich Haddon with He's Able.
I believe this is your word that you've been waiting for all night. Darwin, where are you? How many know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. Woo! According to the power that worketh in us.
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?
Exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask for, according to the power that worketh in you, God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. How many believe it tonight? Yeah, yeah. He's able. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, y'all. I need y'all to help me sing. God.
God is able to do
just what he said.
Don't give up on God.
Tell somebody, 'cause he won't.
He is able. Isn't it just great when you're boogieing to the song, having conversations, totally run out of time? He is able.
Amen. He is able.
Yeah. So welcome back. You're listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio, where we discuss issues relating to our quality of life as Christians. Yes. Today's topic, Lillian, what are we discussing?
We are discussing, should Christians go for counseling when they have problems? Dun, 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 dun. But first, I'd like to know, as you've got a psychotherapy background, what is a counselor? You know, what is counseling? Because, you know, people may have different sort of ideas about what it means. And
it's interesting. I discovered counseling, what counseling is, 34 years ago. Following the death of my mother, I used to work for the NHS. I was working as a personnel officer. And I had a colleague who worked with the bereavement service. She coordinated the bereavement service. And so I was sitting next to her at this event. And I said, oh, what do you do? And she said, I coordinate the bereavement service. I said, oh, I understood that. Okay, bereavement service. Say, yeah. I said, oh, okay. So what do you do? She said, oh, I oversee the team that provides counseling for people who've been bereaved. And I said, I recently lost my mom. I recently was bereaved. But what exactly is counseling? What does it mean? And it was there that my journey, really, from that conversation, that my journey began, that took me through into counseling. And what counseling is provides an opportunity for us as individuals to get the support of a... Okay, first and foremost, I was going to get support. First and foremost, counseling is talking. First and foremost. There are various forms and there are various... methods through to that, but counseling is about talking, it's about openly expressing through words, typically. There are other forms, there are other practices within counseling to support that are not about talking, but first and foremost, counseling is about talking. So talking with someone who is a therapist, who is a trained individual, a counselor, a psychotherapist, etc. To help you deal with or address certain issues or emotions or behaviors that you are facing. Because it's not just about the issues. It's not just about the problems. Sometimes it's about the behaviors. Sometimes it's about, I'm doing this, I need counseling. So counseling is useful for people who are, so we have counseling. There's an obvious one, like in my case, someone who's been bereaved, someone who's going through a challenge or difficulty facing anxiety, low mood, depression, postpartum depression, etc. But then you then have situations where perhaps someone is misusing substances. So they've got an alcohol dependency or a drug dependency. So it's not just about how they're feeling. It's also about what they're doing. Somebody like that could benefit from counseling, talking therapies, as it's also known. So it's about sitting with, going before and getting the support and assistance of a trained individual, someone with the right training, experience, knowledge, professionalism to assist with the emotions, the feelings, the thoughts, the behaviors, the actions that you're facing.
So have you been for counseling then?
Have I been for counseling? The direct answer is yes, absolutely. One of the critical elements, there is no qualified counselor who has not had counseling.
Oh, okay.
Because one of the absolute requirements, think about the idea of counseling as you helping someone to better understand themselves, who they are and where they are, right, on their journey in life. You who haven't embarked on a journey to better understand yourself, who you are and where you are less qualified than someone who has.
Yeah.
So the best way, is for you to have embarked on that journey yourself, to look at, who are you? Where are you? What's going on for you? What makes you tick? What scares you? Where are your fears, your insecurities, where's your pride? Where's your, et cetera, et cetera. Because it then better equips you to help people who are embarking on that journey.
It's similar to coaching, when to be qualified as a coach, you too. it's essential that you go through the journey of being coached yourself as well. And I don't know whether I have been for counselling. I can't remember. Maybe if I have, it's been once, but I wasn't impressed. Because it was more of a, it felt more like a monologue than a dialogue. Mm. And I think I was expecting a dialogue. So yeah, I've never been impressed with counselling. However, I think things have changed over the years. I've got some friends who are counsellors, and it's not so much they're not in their counselling phase when I speak with them, so maybe when they're in their counselling sort of position, that it is more, maybe it might be more of a monologue, let the counsellee express themselves, etc. And sometimes what you see pictured in movies or on television programs, you know, it's like the only time the counsellor speaks is to welcome them into the room,
thank them for coming, yes,
and book the next session. Okay, then it's now reached a time, you know, I'll see you next week or whenever it is, you know. You just think, really? But all of a sudden, I mean, I say all of a sudden, over the past few years, it seems like they don't call it counselling as such now in the States. It's therapy.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to therapy. Oh, you're going to therapy. Oh, which therapist do you go to? Oh, yeah, I love that therapist. Oh, no, I'm changing my therapist. I'm after, you know, and it's almost become fashionable in America, in most parts of the States. It's like, if you haven't got a therapist, then there's something wrong with you type of thing, you know. Can that lead into, I don't know, I don't want to use the word abuse, but that's what's coming into my head, you know, overuse of having to have therapy over, you know, oh, my nail chipped, you know, oh, I have to go to therapy. You know, it's almost sounding like that when I see certain people on social media, you know, oh, I had my therapist today, or I can't start my day without speaking to my therapist. I can't end my day without speaking to my therapist, and I can't go on holiday without speaking to my therapist. Yeah. It's you know what I mean? It's becoming, and this is Christian and non-Christians, you know. Pastor.
Let me start by talking about or addressing or responding to something you said earlier on, or a point you made. You talked about how it's sometimes a monologue and your experience. Counseling, the idea of counseling is giving the individual the time and the space to express, to get it out, to just work it out. Sometimes, like anything, the coin has two sides. And one of the disadvantages of some of the counseling methodologies and practices is that they are very, very much about the individual, singularly about the individual. Whatever's good for you is good. Whatever works for you works. Whatever's happy, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of, sadly, not very experienced and capable counselors will just leave you to rattle on and not see part of their role as guidance. You know, guidance. So not telling, but guiding. Guiding. And I think back in the day, counseling and psychotherapy, we've always known as counseling and guidance. Yeah. So you're not telling, you're guiding. You're exploring with the person, and if need be, challenging them. But sometimes, unfortunately, it turns into this, well, you know, here's the space for you to just talk it out. You talk it out. And sometimes I'm not looking for a space to talk. I'm seeking guidance. Someone to just help me consolidate my thoughts in a way that can help me to make sense. But also someone that can bring a challenge where need be. Someone that can bring, you know, because they call it counsel. You know, counsel. You're not telling me, you're bringing counsel to me. And I think that, again, I don't want to leave the blame fairly and squarely on the side of the practitioner, because it's important that the client also says, but the practitioner needs to also ask, what are you seeking? What do you want to get out of our time together? You know, what are our objectives? What's the destination to this journey? And it's really, really important. Anybody that you go and see, you've got to have in your mind what you're trying to get. there's okay, before I talk about what I was going to say. Now, you asked the question, you talked about the issue of the labeling, counselor and therapist. Counselor, remember I said to you 34 years ago, I was like, what exactly is a counselor? The word counselor or counseling is just of this person who gives a kind of an opinion-ish sort of that might help you or might not. A therapist, you know, if we think of psychotherapist, if we think of physiotherapist, you know, if we think of hypnotherapist, this is someone who, because it, that word therapy and therapia, you know, the therapeutic is more medical thing, because it carries a little bit more weight. It carries a little bit more credibility. And so a lot of people are using that phrase as in, oh yeah, I'm a therapist, because it's, because it became more and more fashionable, because it, it, you know, someone says, oh yeah, I go for counseling, as so you just go to talk. If I go for therapist, oh, no, no, I'm not wasting my time. I'm getting proper help. You know, I'm seeing a professional. And that's where some of that came in. That's why some of that, it was more attractive and more attractional to say, I'm going to see my therapist, rather than I'm going to see that bloke that I just, we talk for, you know, 55 minutes, 50 minutes, you know, and then I go and then I do it again next week. Sadly, like most professions, like all professions, because the fallenness of human nature, there are also cowboys, there are charlatans, there are people who are just there to milk it. And I'm not talking about therapists who are giving wrong advice. I'm talking about therapists who are there for your between 50 and 70, well, between 35, I think it's probably about £40 an hour as a minimum you can expect to pay for therapy these days, right through to about, there's no upper limit, but typically anything from £40 to £80 per hour, depending on experience and what you're presenting. And they're happy to take that £30 to £40 per hour every week from you. If you know, if you're doing six sessions, that's £250 for them to sit in a room, £240 for them to sit in a room and listen. That's not bad money, you know.
Exactly.
And so a lot of the time you then have some people who will just milk that and say, well, I just want to give you the space to talk. They're going to get your £40 next week, you're going to talk. Then you get your £40 the following week and you're going to talk. And they're not really guiding and bringing, again, there's a time and a place for guidance, and it's not all the time. It's important to also get to the root of the issues, but you do that through exploratory questions, you do that through the fact finding aspects, you do that through the therapeutic assessments. It's about what are we presenting with, you know. And but it's important that the counselor also helps the client, you know, to go on a journey rather than just sitting on this roundabout clocking mileage and burning fuel,
clocking hours. Okay, so I don't know whether to talk about what to look for in a counselor yet, but you know, in the Bible it talks about, you know, we should seek God first if we have problems, that we should go to him. However, there are some examples in the Bible where, for example, in Luke 14, verse 31, where it talks about, you know, the king is going to war and he sits down with his counselors to get consult, which is not a bad thing because he's looking for guidance. You know, what should I do? What's the strategy? Things like that. So in that case, if we apply that to our own personal lives, you know, sitting down with someone who's a counselor to give us like a strategy, you know, like you say, guidance.
Yes.
Is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. However, as Christians, should the counselor be Christian themselves, number one? And number two, can it become dangerous to a point where we start to co-depend on that counselor rather than depend on God?
Very powerful questions. Thank you for that. I think that let me start by talking about the idea of counsel and the counselor. And you talked about Luke. Let's go all the way back to Moses. You know, when we talk about leadership, you know, you cannot teach robustly on Christian leadership without talking about Moses, mm-hmm. who appointed people.
Mm.
You know, he appointed heads. These are people who oversaw, but also it was a two-way thing. They didn't just oversee, they brought counsel to him.
Mm-hmm.
The instructions were delegated to them. Feedback came back to him,
mm-hmm.
if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
They sat in that place of counsel.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about in the multitude of counsel, there is safety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so there are many, many instances right through scripture, Old and New Testament,
mm-hmm.
where people sought counsel and it was good and it was right.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a guy like Peter in the New Testament, the guy had a debt. He was mm-hmm. in trouble. He had a debt he couldn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go to the temple and kneel and, you know, and take a burnt offering.
Mm-hmm.
He went to go get counsel
mm-hmm.
from Jesus. He went mm-hmm. to Jesus and said, Lord, counsel me. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me some advice here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I should do? Jesus understood the weight of Peter's problem, Peter's issue.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you know, a miracle happened there, but Jesus was able to then give him key sets of instructions,
mm-hmm.
instructions that were counterintuitive, instructions that were, you know, Peter would have looked at and thought, what's this guy talking? You're a son of a carpenter. What? Here we go again. This Jesus dude telling me to go cast a line and catch a fish. I told him I've got bills to pay.
Mm.
Telling me to cast a line and catch a fish. You know, what's this guy up to? But he followed those instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is really important to understand that counsel in and of itself is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Seek first the kingdom of God mm-hmm. and all the things will be added. He didn't say seek only.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture doesn't say seek only the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Seek first the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really important. Let's look at the scriptures. It didn't say seek only.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So let's say I decide I'm going to climb a ladder and do some painting outside my house.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, the ladder slips, falls. I fall down and break my leg.
God forbid.
God forbid. Fair enough. Yes, true. God forbid. What is the sensible thing to do? Come to church.
No.
God has put, you know, 999 is a free call.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a free call.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
If you don't know your address, stay on the phone long enough, they'll find you. It's a free call. Yes. Number one. And God has put things, people, mm-hmm. medicines, facilities, resources upon the earth to be a blessing to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just want to just emphasize that.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing wrong with the resources God has put, whether that be a human mm-hmm. resource, a finance resource, a skilled resource, a medical mm-hmm. resource, or even a psychotherapy resource.
Mm-hmm.
Now, must the counselor be a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
My answer to that is the counselor must be a Christian in the same way your doctor must be a Christian, your midwife, the person who is going to help your child be birthed into this world must be a Christian. The person who sold you meat
uh-huh.
that you are going to consume and put in your body
uh-huh.
must be a Christian.
Uh-huh.
Your driving instructor must be a Christian.
Uh-huh.
The person who taught you to read,
mm.
the person who taught you to read English
mm-hmm.
for you to read your English Bible
mm.
must be a Christian.
Mm.
The person who taught you, you know, English grammar, how to speak and speak properly.
Mm.
And when you come and you bring that grammar and you pray to God, must be a Christian. So the direct answer is no. My GP doesn't have to be a Christian.
Mm.
The physiotherapist who's going to help me after that broken leg, after that ladder fall, doesn't have to be a Christian.
Mm.
Because it doesn't matter who the person is.
Mm.
That person can still be an instrument
mm-hmm.
in the hand of it's my
true.
God.
Yeah.
So I'm not dependent on the tool,
mm.
you know, I'm dependent on the person who's using the tool,
mm-hmm.
the hand that carries that tool.
Mm.
The surgeon is a tool in the hands of God.
Mm.
Even your pastor is a tool in the hands of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is just the truth of it. So must mm-hmm. they be a Christian? Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Christian, the benefit of Christian counseling is if there are particular issues where you want someone to help you see things from a biblical perspective,
mm-hmm.
then fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
If the person is a non-Christian and you say to them, I have a biblical perspective to bring,
mm-hmm.
they should still be able to a degree to respond to you. So
mm-hmm.
when I worked full time as a psychotherapist, as a counselor, even though I was a Christian, I rarely had opportunities to speak gospel, speak Bible mm-hmm. with clients. Mm-hmm. The opportunities, the times I had those opportunities was when the person said, I go to church. That's not the green light. Mm-hmm. Is when they say, but do you understand what I mean when I talk about church?
Mm-hmm.
I can then say, that's the signal for me to then say, yes, I do.
Okay.
And if they query that, I can say, because I also attend church. Mm-hmm. I'm also a Christian, mm-hmm. so I have an understanding. Because it's critical for the therapist to respond. Mm-hmm. You don't just take them to church, mm-hmm. start bringing your scriptures and quoting it. That's unprofessional and that's wrong. Whoever it is you choose and select as a counselor, as a therapist to help you, has to have the right level of professionalism,
yes.
the right skill set for the particularities mm-hmm. of your need.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be impartial and they have to have the right level of experience mm-hmm. in dealing with what it is you're presenting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? They have to be appropriate. And then you said, so they have to be Christian. Then you said, have I answered both sides
You've
of the question?
You've answered both yes. sides. But you brought up some good points there. People tend, sometimes Christians tend to be more focused on the counselor has to be a Christian rather than the other specifics that you were talking about.
Yes.
You know, would they be able to guide you and direct you in helping you to resolve the issues? But we'll pick more up on that when we come back after our next music break.
Yeah, this song, this is a really, really great song. It was done, original was done, I don't know, I think 14 years ago. So we're going back into time
back
today.
Back in time.
Yes, yes. But this one, this particular one, it's a worship leader from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a cover version of that ever, ever popular William McDowell song. His name, the man's name is Fortune Ebel.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is You Are God Alone.
He knew you were coming, and he prepared your blessing. Every blessing, give your God praise in this house. He's God over himself. Nigeria, let your confidence be in your God this morning. We need everybody to sing with us from the top. Clap your hands. We smile at your face. Hey! We'll sing unto God.
You are not a God.
Everybody.
Are you in heaven?
God alone. You are God alone. That was Fortune Abel with the William McDowell song. And isn't he God alone?
Amen.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio, where we talk about issues relating to our quality of life as Christians. Mm-hmm. Today, we're talking about counseling and crisis counseling, mm-hmm. and under what circumstances, you know, should we get counseling? Mm-hmm. Do we get counseling? Do we only go with a Christian? Which is what we were talking about a little bit before we went to the music break.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have the Holy Spirit, yes. why should we need counseling?
Exactly, because you know? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our counselor.
Indeed.
You know?
Indeed.
But before we went to the break, you covered some important aspects around, you know, what to look for rather than just be fixated on this counselor must be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And likewise, mm-hmm. what you said, you know, we don't go around saying, well, I'm going for surgery, so is the surgeon a counselor? Sorry, a Christian.
Yes.
Is my doctor GP? I'm only going
to my midwife a Christian.
Yeah. Etc. My dentist is a Christian. You know, and that brings it into perspective, really, because it's more than that. It's the other nuances that you were speaking about. You know, their credibility. You know, just how they are in themselves, how they show up. I mean, I don't know whether you heard. There's a recent case at the moment in the news. I don't know too much about it, so I don't want to say too much and get the wrong story. Mm. But I don't know it's a female who had counseling or saw a psychotherapist, and the psychotherapist abused the girl.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
And you know, did whoever investigated in teaming, you know, this person with this psychotherapist, was investigations made into in terms of the person's credibility?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that's not the first time that the psychotherapist had done
gone
that.
Gone in that direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are bigger things that we've got to be thinking about as Christians, rather than, well, I'm only going to, you know, a counselor who is Christian. But like what you were saying, you know, if we require guidance in terms of from a biblical nature, then mm-hmm. that has to be important as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes, yes. It's critical that whatever you're bringing, whatever you're presenting, your counselor, your psychotherapist, your therapist, whatever the phrase, your counselor has to be able to understand to a degree. It's great if they've walked it themselves, but it's not critical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is not critical.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, you know, I used to work for victim support, and I was coordinator of the particular one that I worked for the borough. And I remember when I started. In fact, I think the week day two or day three that I started, there was a particular one, a case that came in,
mm-hmm.
which was a lady divorced from her husband. Her son had gone, one child, only child, he'd gone to a party, wrong place, wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know the celebrant.
Okay.
His friend knew the celebrant.
Mm-hmm.
He went with his friend to a party. He accompanied somebody to this party.
Mm-hmm.
There were gang members at the party. A couple of gang members firebombed the house. Mm-hmm. There was a house fire. Mm-hmm. There was one fatality, and it was him.
Wow.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So going to then counsel the family of a murder victim,
mm-hmm.
even though I myself at the time had never had any family members murdered, you see. So it doesn't necessarily mean that your therapist must have walked, you know, in the footsteps of what it is you're presenting,
sure.
or bringing, but they have to have the ability and the capacity to empathize, to identify to what it is that you're feeling, and help you see what it is you're feeling. One of the key things we've talked about to a degree, I think I've touched on what counseling is. I also want to just throw in now what counseling is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good point.
Counseling,
yeah.
and I think we alluded to it a little bit earlier on, counseling isn't just a good chat, a nice chat.
Mm.
Sometimes people go for counseling because
a cup
they're looking.
Of tea and biscuits.
Well, yes.
Mm.
Because, well, the thing is, people go for counseling because they're looking from, let me do it from both sides, actually, because that pendulum swings on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
From the counselor perspective, from us who are seeking counseling and crisis counseling, counseling is not, as you were saying, shouldn't be a monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and someone says, oh, thank you so much, we've come to the end of our time, I'll see you next week. If that's all you're experiencing, with all due respect, you need to leave.
Exactly.
Number one. Number two, counseling is not, should not be a place for you to go and get validated mm-hmm. in the situation you're in. Mm. You're presenting with issues. Mm-hmm. And if your counselor is helping you think and feel in certain situations, obviously, you know, as I said, I used to work for victim support. Mm-hmm. Every single person that I saw in that context was a victim of something or other, mm-hmm. whether that was a burglary, an assault, you know, as I said earlier on, a family mm-hmm. of a murder victim. They were victim in one way or another. Mm-hmm. However, the counselor's job is to help you own where you are,
okay,
to see where you are, mm-hmm. what's brought you there, mm-hmm. A, and even though you may have no part in what's brought you there, mm-hmm. sometimes we have a part in what's keeping us there. Mm-hmm. So counseling isn't singularly simply to validate our sense of justice, our sense of righteousness, mm-hmm. our sense of it's not my fault, it's his fault. Mm-hmm. Particularly mm-hmm. when you're talking about relationship issues, yes, where yes. the husband will say, please, we need to come for counseling mm-hmm. because my wife this and my wife that and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And where it concerns relationships, mm-hmm. I've been doing relationship work for about 27 years. Mm-hmm. And where it concerns relationships, it's one of the amount of pride I mm-hmm. see, mm-hmm. It is staggering mm-hmm. because it's a human thing and it's intuitive and instinctive and it's natural. Mm. You don't see, the only time we see ourselves is when we stop in front of a reflective surface,
yeah,
like a mirror. Mm-hmm. It's the only time. Mm-hmm. The rest of the time we are seen. We're seeing more than we're seeing ourselves. Mm-hmm. Similarly, we see our spouse or our partner in the relationship more than they see themselves. Mm. And we see them more than we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's understandable that the stuff you'll be presenting with will be more about your other, the other half of that relationship than about yourself. Mm-hmm. But it is critical that the counselor also helps them to see themselves.
Yeah.
So counseling is not simply saying, that's true, your wife is a bad woman, your wife is she nags too much, she shouts too much, she's unreasonable, she's messy, she doesn't put enough salt in the food. That's not the role mm-hmm. of the counselor. Mm-hmm. It is important the counselor, you just said picking sides, it's critical the counselor is impartial mm-hmm. and holds a mirror to both sides mm-hmm. of whatever it is you're presenting mm. and helps you see, A, what's brought you there, mm-hmm. even if that's outside of your control and mm. you're doing, but also if, emphasis on if, mm-hmm. if there are things that are keeping you there that are part of your doing, mm. it is critical that the counselor helps you to see that mm. because it is about you.
Yeah.
It's about you being strong enough to get up. It's about you being courageous enough to take that next step sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's about you acknowledging, so it's about the individual acknowledging that they're a victim. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't seeing that. Mm. You know, someone who's in an abusive relationship doesn't see themselves as a victim.
Yeah.
They're probably, sometimes people in abusive relationships hold guilt. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh no, but if I leave, if I leave, what will people say about me? Mm-hmm. And so again, it's nuanced and it's varied, but it is important that the counselor can hold a mirror to the client.
Yeah.
So that the client see, whether they accept it is a different thing. Mm-hmm. Whether they recognize it is a different thing. But the counselor has a duty to hold that mirror mm-hmm. to the client, mm-hmm. to what is being presented.
Yeah.
Sadly, a lot of people then struggle because mm-hmm. we don't want to see ourselves. Mm. Like Jesus said, it's a lot easier, to see that, notice the speck in someone's mm. eye than the log in our own
yes.
eye. Nobody
yes.
wants to be told, this is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. Mm. I mean, counselors don't use that kind of language, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel like this is your doing, mm. that you had a part to play in
exactly.
this. You don't want to feel like, well, actually, I had a choice here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I had a choice.
Mm.
I either had a choice at the beginning or I have a choice now.
Mm-hmm.
And some people want to be validated and mm. vindicated.
Yeah.
And that's not what counseling is about.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it should be about.
That's good. So I hope, listeners, you are gaining some good points from, maybe you yourself are going through counseling. And is it a good experience for you? Is it not a good experience for you? Let us know. And, maybe on listening to what Pastor was saying, that, you're thinking, oh, actually, my counselor doesn't do that, or my counselor does do that. And whether it's a good or a not good thing, see where you're at in terms of your the relationship that you have with your current counsellor. And it's good to know that, you know, we as Christians, there's nothing wrong in us going for counselling as well.
No.
Because I know of some churches in the past where they would just, you know, no, if you need counselling, it stays within house.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They weren't allowed to go out and seek counsel from anywhere else.
Well, I want to actually just talk about that in the few minutes we have left. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, really important to touch on that. And I say this with all due... my wife said to me, Sumi said to me, I can't remember what it was I was saying to her. And I said, with all due respect, she said, no. And I was like, can I speak? She said, no, before you speak. 99% of the time when someone says with all due respect, they're about to disrespect you.
I remember that one.
Think about it. When someone says, oh, with all due respect, yeah, boom, you know they're dead. There's a punch coming. Uh-huh. And so with all due respect to pastors, I can say it. No one's going to say, oh, well, how dare you speak about pastors. With all due respect to pastors, I'm saying now the vast majority of pastors cannot even correctly spell the word counseling, mm-hmm, let alone correctly deliver the practice of counseling. And we talked about what counseling is not. Mm-hmm. Counseling is not a monologue from the pastor. Mm-hmm. Counseling is not the pastor quoting you or the Christian counselor rattling off a bunch of scriptures, you know, making you feel this thing, that thing, or the other thing about something, using the word of God as a cane or a whip to beat you with. Mm-hmm. The counseling isn't just, you know, relationship. As I said, 27 years I've been doing relationship work. Mm-hmm. Counseling isn't the counselor. The pastor, the Christian pastor, the Christian counselor saying, well, wives, submit to your husband as the church is submitted to Christ, you know, and reeling off Ephesians 5. Husbands, you must love your wife as Christ loved the church, you know, presented her to himself without spot or blemish. Guy, calm down, you know. So it mustn't be that. And I think, sadly, a lot of churches, a lot of pastors do that.
Yeah.
It's all they do is they open scripture and read it. Mm-hmm. They'll just throw a bunch of texts at you. Mm. Counseling must be about the person presenting. Mm-hmm. And scripture cannot just be used as a blanket shotgun, you know, this nuclear weapon to beat them into submission or beat them into a particular way of being or thinking or feeling. Mm-hmm. The scriptures must not be used in that way.
Thank you, Pastor, for that. Wow. A whole lot of information there. So for those of you who were listening, please, please, please do listen back again. We have come to the end of the show, and all I can say is thank you for listening to us for today's topic. And next time when we're here, we will be bringing another topic around medication and having medical procedures as Christians. So you've been listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. My name's Lillian. Been joined with Pastor Deji. And I want to wish you a pleasant good day, good night. And we will see you next time. God bless.